Hear the word of God, as it is written in the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 4, verses 1 to 17. God appears to Moses in the burning bush and commands Moses to return to Egypt and free the Israelites from slavery, assuring him that he would perform all kinds of miracles to force the Egyptians to let them go. Exodus 4, reading from verse 1. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that that's in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. Now put your hand back into your cloak, the Lord said. So Moses put his hand back in, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. The Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you, and you are not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second sign. And if they don't believe you or listen to you even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I am not very good with words. I never have been, and am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? It is not I, the Lord. Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you, and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to John, to chapter 12, reading verses 37 to 43. We hear that Jesus met with many who did not believe in him. Chapter 12, reading from verse 37. But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people did not believe in him. This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet had predicted. Lord, who believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? But the people couldn't believe, for Isaiah also said, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this, because he saw the future and spoke of Messiah's glory. People did not believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. When I say the name Moses, I wonder what words you would use to describe him. A great man of faith, a great miracle worker who parted the Red Sea, a great leader who led the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, a great lawgiver who received the Ten Commandments personally from God. Perhaps some of you, lost for words, picture Moses as Charlton Heston, a big, powerful man. But I reckon very few of you here would use the words like failure or fearful to describe Moses. J.K. Rowling was rejected by 12 major publishing houses before she found someone willing to print the first Harry Potter book. George Lucas was turned away by both United Artists and Universal Studios when he brought them his vision for a film called Star Wars. Colonel Sanders was shown the door by 1,009 restaurants before he found one willing to run with his recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken. Charles Darwin dropped out of both Edinburgh and Cambridge universities. Albert Einstein, at age of 16 years of age, failed the entrance exam for the Swiss Federal Polytechnic School. Elvis Presley, at age 19, failed an audition for a vocalist quartet called the Songfellows and told his father when he got home that they had told him he couldn't sing. The reason we know all those names is because they overcame their failure, and the same is true for Moses. Moses was born when the Israelites were becoming more numerous than the Egyptians, so the midwives were supposed to kill all Israelite boys on birth. Moses' mother instead put him in a basket and into the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and later ended up raising him in Pharaoh's house as a prince. When Moses was about 40 years of age, he saw the Hebrews being abused, and he ended up killing an Egyptian. It became known what he'd done, and he had to flee Egypt. His first attempt to help his people failed miserably. When Moses realized that he'd failed, he did what many of us think about doing in the face of failure. He gave up. He ran away. Have you ever been tempted to do this? We fail at work and just want to quit and go and find another job. We fail in our marriage and immediately begin to think about divorce instead of facing the circumstances and working on a reconciliation. We fail in school and instead of working harder or getting help, we figure that it's useless and we drop out, or we find an easier course to take. Too often we look at our failure as fatal, the death or the end of the road, and so we might as well call it quits and run away. If this was how Moses faced his failure, we wouldn't be talking about him today. But it wasn't. Moses learned something from his situation that shaped his life and helped him overcome his future failure. He went to a place called Midian and got married and remained there for 40 years until God interrupted his life personally. Imagine the scene, if you will. Put yourself in Moses' sandals. You're out there tending your sheep when suddenly You're having a conversation with Almighty God, the creator of the universe, and he's telling you how he's going to use you, you of all people, to rescue your nation, Scotland. And he shows you some unbelievable miracles that will enable you to do so. And you react by asking the creator of all things, the God of all knowledge and power, you ask him if he's sure he has chosen the right person. What are you thinking, Moses? But that's just the thing. When we're afraid, sometimes we stop thinking. Moses is so focused on his fears, and his fears are hindering him from doing what God is asking him to do. And fear can keep us from doing things God wants us to do. Have you ever been afraid to do what you think God wants you to do? I've lost count of the number of times people have said to me, if God would just tell us what he wants us to do, life would be so much easier. The problem is that we don't want God to tell us to do what he wants us to do. We want God to tell us to do what we want to do. And if God suggests something different from that, we start to do just what Moses did. We try to question God about it. God, you don't really mean me, do you? Lord, have you completely thought through this process? God, let's talk about your plan and I'll help you sort it out. God's plan was to send Moses to Pharaoh. But Moses says, wait a minute, who am I to go to Pharaoh? God assures him that he'll be with him when he leads the people out of captivity. And Moses responds by saying, if I go to the people of Israel and say you sent me, they will demand to know your name. Knowing someone's name was believed to give you power over them. You couldn't curse someone or cast out someone unless you knew their name. And God says to Moses, I am who I am. Tell them Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, has sent you. And as God tells Moses to go, he tells him what will happen. He reveals the future to Moses, telling him that Pharaoh will have a hard heart and that he will need to be softened with many miracles. But in the end, he will let the people go. And even after all this assurance and vision from God, we heard in our reading earlier that Moses continued to protest, and God gently removed every obstacle that Moses could think of. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Lord, please send someone else, anyone else. If everyone said, Lord, please send someone else, there would be no Old Testament, no prophets, no church, no mission, no elders, no volunteers, no office bearers, no one willing to serve, to care for others or spread the good news. If everyone said, Lord, please send someone else, we would not be here this morning. But we are. It may be that you have felt God urging you to start serving him in the church, but you're afraid that it'll eat up your free time and you won't enjoy life. It may be that you felt God calling you to some kind of mission work, either in this area or further afield, perhaps even to the other side of the world. But you're afraid that you can't commit, that you'll not be able to afford to live if you quit your job and follow that call. Maybe you feel that God has been urging you to share your faith with some neighbours or co-workers, but you're afraid that they might not respond favourably and they'll think poorly of you. There may be times when you just don't think you can get through your present circumstances, never mind taking up some new challenge for God. But be aware that God will provide just what you need to accomplish what he is calling you to do, just as he did for Moses. What seems impossible for us is possible with God. Moses went out and followed the Lord and did the things God told him to do. And God used this weak and fearful individual and built him into a great man of faith that was used to achieve the extraordinary. God gives Moses some practical tips that ultimately helped him face his fears and obey the Lord and be used in such a way that he would become to be known as a great and extraordinary man of faith. Let me ask, where are you today? What fears have you got in your heart that prevent you from following the Lord in faith? When we hear God calling to us and we respond by saying, "Who am I that you would choose me, God?" We need to be aware it's not about who we are, but that God promises that he will be with us. Listen to what King David wrote as he faced possible death. He wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When you have experienced the presence of the Lord, you will know what a great comfort it is when you're facing fears, even the fear of death. Maybe you feel led to serve God more but are afraid of the sacrifice. Because yes, there is a sacrifice, but there is far more blessing. The blessing of intimacy with God. The blessing of his power working through you. The blessing of seeing him provide for you. God is good even when we sacrifice. Maybe God has been leading you to share your faith with others from work or the community. But you are afraid what they might think of you. In that case, keep your focus on God and how he'll provide for you and work in those people's hearts to change their eternities. Even back in Jesus' time, there are people who believed in Jesus but would not say anything because they were more afraid of what people would think of them rather than what God thought of them. John chapter 12 says, "Many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God." God is good and desires to use us not just to do the ordinary, but to accomplish extraordinary things through us for his own glory. For his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, it can be so scary when you call. There is the fear of the unknown, the fear of the world rejecting us and perhaps even abusing us, the fear that our lives are out with our control. Lord, that's what faith is. Trusting in you, trusting that you will be there with us, that you will give us the words to say when we need it, the strength we need to endure. For you do not ask us to do anything and then leave us alone. You ask and equip the willing. Lord, give us the strength to be willing, the passion to want to serve you, not in the future, but in the here and now. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.